One in four Americans is estranged from someone in their family.
And I think our society has kind of done this pendulum swing over to a more extreme no contact trend, cutting people out more aggressively.
Hey, it's Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy. Lately, it just really feels hard to stay open to others when it seems like we're all living in completely different realities. I feel like I'm walking on eggshells in every encounter, just constantly uncomfortable. But I don't want to give up on connection or retreat into a bubble where everybody is just like me. I want to stay curious, hopeful, and human. And that's what this show is about. So let's get uncomfy.
Oh, I know when I start to get really uncomfortable in a social setting, I start sweating. I get a little shaky. I get a little cold. And that's when I know there's a part of me that's wanting to shrink in and even close off my body and get out.
Folks, this is Kelsey Blahnik. She's a licensed clinical social worker, and she's author of a new book. It's called The And Way, Assertive Peacemaking in a Divided World. I'm really excited to hear her stories today. Kelsey, welcome to Uncomfy.
Thank you so much for having me.
So it sounds like your response when you feel threatened is the freeze one, right? Like sometimes we hear fight, flight, freeze, and you're talking about wanting to shrink in on yourself. Tell us what happened in that moment. How did you end up in that position? What's going on?
Yeah, sometimes freeze, sometimes flight. And I also had a part of me that wanted to fight in that moment. I was at dinner with some friends that I had been doing life with for a long time. And I just made an error in judgment, making an assumption when I made a comment about a political candidate. Oh, well, at least they're far superior to voting for them. And when I made that comment, it got silent. And one of my friends looked over at me and said, "We don't all feel that way." And it shocked me. Because I thought I was making it so casually, assuming we were all on the same page about how obvious this was.
So you say these are people you had been doing life with for a long, like these are good friends.
Yes.
You knew these
very
people.
Very dear friends.
And are you at like at a public setting, in a restaurant?
We were at a restaurant enjoying a meal together. We hadn't seen each other in a few weeks because we were starting to have a little less frequent contact once we had young kids, but we were still making an intentional effort. And we had, you know, little conversations here and there where we could tell we weren't on the exact same page about every issue, but it really did still shock me. And I noticed a part of me wanted to jump right into the debate. And then another part of me wanted to just leave the friendship altogether. I wondered, should I not even be here anymore? Am I not a part of this group anymore? It questioned my desire to even be associated or be, you know, in deep community with folks that felt so strongly differently than I did.
So what did you do in that moment?
It was awkward. And I mostly shut down in that meal. Mm. And then
You stopped talking?
Yeah, I got a little quiet. I went internal. I started processing. And I had a lot of judgment in my head. How could they? How could you? And I recognized that judgment and decided I didn't want to voice that immediately. I wanted to get curious. So I took some time. We continued to interact a little bit later in the meal. And, you know, we ended up being able to leave things in a good place. And then I came back to those questions with curiosity at a later date and in a more one-on-one setting or two-on-two setting instead of at a large dinner table.
How did that play out?
I love asking just kind of in an open-ended way, what's most important to you about this election? Or tell me a little bit about why you feel connected to that candidate, you know, just opening up conversations. And there were also instances where specific things on the news would come up and I would, you know, clearly feel differently than my friends did and inquire a little bit more. It's a lot of asking questions.
How did this become a part of your framework, the work that you do as a therapist? What's the connection here between the personal experience that you've worked on and the lessons you've learned and kind of what you do in your book and in your day job?
Yes. Well, I noticed constantly that my clients were struggling with this decision of, do I cut people out of my life or do I maintain connection and kind of shut down my convictions, shut down the things that I think the other people won't like about me or my beliefs. And I strongly believe it doesn't have to be one of those two options. There are so many ways in between where we can still maintain relationships and still have boundaries, still have our own convictions. And so I was constantly navigating that with clients. And
what kind of resistance were you getting from them?
Tons, because I think everybody I've met so far that has reflected on this has some part of them that wants to see things in black and white, that wants to see things more rigidly as an instinct to protect ourselves, because it's what our brains do to go, oh, this is safe and this is a threat. It's something that benefits us, absolutely. It's just something that we've overutilized now in our culture, especially with other humans. You know, it makes sense that after all this time, we would want to make sure that whoever we're with is going to keep us safe, and that the sign of threat, at the sign that somebody is going to hurt us, that we'd want to push them away and keep ourselves safe. It's just not always necessary. There are a lot of opportunities for repair that we're missing out on.
And so what do you counsel people to do instead?
One of the things I like to start with is recognizing it makes sense why this instinct is here, giving a little compassion, that this idea that at the dinner table, I wanted to leave the relationship. It makes sense because I want to make sure that I'm holding my convictions true. And then the other part of that is the seemingly opposite side of things. And I can maintain a relationship with someone that I don't 100% agree with. I can maintain a relationship with someone that doesn't value things in the same priorities as I do. And holding both of those things, noticing how uncomfortable that makes me to hold both of those things at the same time, and getting in the habit of practicing that with internal conflict as well. So honestly, the first half of my book is about how we do that internally first before we get to doing that with other people. So within myself, yes, within myself, I may recognize for example, if I have a part of me that wants to have all these food rules and be on a diet, it makes sense that I have that part of me that wants to operate that way, because that's the messaging I've been given my whole life. And it's okay that I have a part of me that wants to seek food for pleasure and enjoyment, because I know that, you know, food is fuel and it doesn't have to just be in this one rigid way. I don't have to just value nutrition or just value pleasure. I don't have to be in one extreme or the other. And same with cutting people out of my life or having that more aggressive response versus being passive, avoiding, you know, asserting myself and just putting up with the way people treat me at all times. And I think our society's kind of done this pendulum swing over to a more extreme no contact trend, cutting people out more aggressively. And I want to make sure that we know we can have both options in different scenarios.
Can you share an example without sharing any sort of private details, like an example of how that's actually worked for somebody that you've worked with?
There are some times where families have a really difficult time. Say I'm working with an individual and they have a family that has a lot of expectations from them, whether they're cultural expectations or family culture around, this is what we've always done. We always spend Saturday nights together. This is what we do. We just spend a lot of time together. When an individual is starting to feel uncomfortable because they hold very different beliefs than the rest of their family members, or they are, you know, just wanting to parent differently, you know, take politics out of it for a second. That's a constant thing I see individuals struggle with. My parents want me to parent in a way that they did. And then here is this person, their partner, wanting to parent a little bit differently. And that's constantly making them not want to be around the grandparents anymore, not even wanting to have family time. Instead of saying, oh, we don't need to have contact altogether, having a version of a relationship that, like, different degrees of connection and time spent together that can vary. You know, that can look like, hey, I want to spend time with you once a week. When we go on vacation, we want to do a vacation, you know, just our family, not spending every waking moment together. Or I would love to talk to you on the phone. And if you start to, you know, condescend toward me or name call me, I'm going to tell you I'm going to get off the phone now. You know, there are all kinds of ways we can put out requests to our family members to let them know what we are and aren't comfortable with by being assertive. And then our boundaries are the ways that we actually implement them and follow up with them.
As you talk about this, it all makes so much sense. And yet it also feels so counterintuitive to so many of us because, you know, sort of being like, yes, this and this, it feels like a kind of a wishy-washy middle. And what do I do? And so what's like the very first step, would you say, to kind of getting into the habit of seeing things with more nuance.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because it's so important that the AND way isn't just being centrist or finding the middle of all these issues or all these inner conflicts, because it's a matter of being able to hold my own beliefs and being really clear on what those are, being really assertive about being able to hold those at the same time as I can be in relationship with someone that doesn't feel the same way about them. And so one of the things that I recognize in my inner conflict is the way that we can call each other hypocrites. I could do that when I look at my own self. Okay, I value the environment. I value eating, you know, as clean as possible, trying to reduce microplastics. And I go to Whole Foods and Whole Foods is lined up with plastics. And I bring these foods home and I eat them right out of a plastic container, right? And so I'm holding all this inner conflict. It doesn't mean that I don't value that. It's that because of systemic barriers, I am compromising that value in order to sustain my life, in order to continue to hold that and still make room for other people that don't believe exactly what I do. I have to be able to look at myself in that messy, not middle, but in that messy reality that I have inner conflict and so do they. So I can give them a little bit more compassion next time instead of just pointing the finger.
I hope this isn't too personal, but Kelsey, is there a relationship in your own life that has been transformed by the AND way?
Absolutely. There are a lot of them. I think I've had very sweet friendships that have deepened because we're able to respect one another and not necessarily be out to change one another's minds and still be willing to share the things that we disagree on. But most of all, in my extended family, I think that's where it's been really powerful. I think that there were times where I would see something on social media and just cringe and want to look away and want to pretend like I didn't see that. And instead being able to acknowledge it and ask questions about it, it allows me to not have as much of that judgment, that pointing the finger about something being hypocritical or about, you know, how could you, all the judgmental thoughts that I had in my mind. I can be curious and actually have a way more intimate relationship with people that way.
Kelsey Blahnik is a licensed clinical social worker, therapist, and author of a new book called The AND Way, Assertive Peacemaking in a Divided World. You can find out more at theandwaypress.com. Kelsey, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening today. What's making you uncomfy these days? I'd love to hear it, how you're coping with it, what works, what doesn't. Email uncomfy@byu.edu with your story or find us on social media to continue the conversation. We are at uncomfy.podcast on Instagram. And if there's someone in your life who you think might enjoy listening to this conversation we had today with Kelsey Blahnik, please share the episode with them. We'd love to have more people joining us. Uncomfy is a BYU radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it. The team includes Hyobin Kim and Sam Payne. Our theme music was composed by Kelsey Ney. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. If you're like me, sometimes you just need a fresh voice in your podcast listening queue to shake things up a bit. And that's why I'm here to recommend The Lisa Show from BYU Radio. It's hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. She's a widowed mother of five. She's an actress and comedian, and she knows that real life is messy, but she's here to say you're not alone. Each episode of The Lisa Show explores the everyday struggles we all face, like struggles in parenting, mental health, relationships, social issues, all while also unpacking how to live a happier, healthier life. So catch The Lisa Show from BYU Radio on the BYU Radio app or on any podcast listening app. New episodes drop every Tuesday.